Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
This world, you will have tribulation, you will have troubles, but He has promised you a safe landing. We will make it. God knows exactly how much storm you need and how much storm you can handle to build your faith. He cares about you. He's building in you a godly heart. His desire is to build in you a godly heart. It really depends on how you respond to the trials and things that happen. Because you can respond and become bitter and turn and go away, or you can finally let go and let God be God and become better.
When you become a follower of Jesus, it's easy to think that means your life will be easy sailing. But the world is dark. Things distract. People are complicated. And whether you like it or not, storms will come. But when those storms come, where you put your faith changes the outcome. As you listen to today's message, Pastor Troy will encourage you to cling to the Lord. Don't try to fix the storms on your own. Let go and let God. He knows what you need and what you can handle. Let Him do the rest. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 as he continues his message, What You Need to Know Before the Storm.
I like to know what's happening. I like it all under control. I like all the money in the bank. I like it a steady ground, stable. But the Lord lets the wind and the waves rise up on occasion. And it seems like He's not in the boat, or maybe no one's in the boat with me. It's just me. Because part of God's plan is to grow our faith. Think about the times that you've grown most. I guarantee you, you may not acknowledge it, you may not realize it, but the times that you grow most are during the trials. See, the trials, the storms rise up, and there's no other choice for you but to just hold on. Because you can either, it's either quit, fall away, walk away, blow away, whatever it is, or go, look, I have no choice but to trust you, Lord. And you send those roots in deeper. It makes no sense. I don't get it. I don't understand it. No one else understands it. But Lord, I know that you do. And I want to hold on to you. Help me. The redwood tree in California can grow up to 300 feet. Big tree. And the strength of the tree, you know that the roots are very shallow? The roots are shallow. But the strength is in the intertwining of the roots, one with another. So the roots intertwine and kind of lock together, and it makes them very, very strong. That's kind of a picture of the church. You know, we need each other. We need each other for strength. Sometimes the winds blow, and it's good to have each other there to hold on to and to lift each other up. However, that's not what God wants for us primarily, that all of your strength is on everybody else. He wants us to be rooted in Him. So, we need that kind of strength. We need that kind of support, but that can't be our primary strength because it's fragile at best. So we need the Lord. Now there's the palm tree. The palm tree can survive in the driest of climates. The palm tree, because of its roots, it'll search for water deep, deep, deep down. And everything around the palm tree can die of dehydration. But the palm tree can still find a way to survive because of its root system. It's rooted very deep. That's how God wants us to be. And that's why storms in our life, there are sometimes where it seems like no one else can understand, no one else can help, no one else is in the boat. Part of God's plan is to grow you in Him. The storms last as long as they need to last to help you grow your roots. See, He is the vine. We are the branches. We're told that we can do nothing unless we're entrenched in Him, planted, deeply rooted in Him. So there are times when God makes it so that our strength cannot come from our spouse. Our strength cannot come from our family. Our strength cannot come from our church, and it cannot come from our pastor. It cannot. It won't. God will not allow it. This is between you and him. He's growing your faith. You can talk to your pastor. You can do whatever you need to try to reach out for anyone to support, encourage, whatever it is. But you know this is a time. It's between you and God. And the only way through this storm is to dig down deep into his word, trusting in him and in him alone. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Hey, let patience finish out. The word patience implies perseverance. Hang in there. It's that stick-to-itiveness that builds our faith. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that they altered their course, they altered their plans, they quit something, they gave up, they pulled out, whatever it might be, because of some misunderstanding they find out later, or some unnecessary fear or worry. They altered the whole, I alter everything, I'm going to pull out, I'm going to quit. Oh, that wasn't true? Oh, I changed everything. So many times this happens. All you got to know is, did God send me out? Did God bring us forward? Then I'm going to ride the waves. And you don't have to fear. Ride the waves, because you're going to be fine. So when you do what God wants you to do, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes you get pushback. Sometimes the storms arise. Ask any family who has teenagers. You get in the boat. God gets a hold of your heart. You want to organize. You say, all right, we got to start doing things God's way. We got to prioritize the Lord. And you will have those teenagers who go, well, I didn't ask for that. I don't want that. Why you got to change things for me? Let me graduate first before we change all the rules. And they will fight back. They will push back. I see some teenagers out here. I'm calling you out, but I'm not getting on you. But it is true. Anyone who wants to follow the Lord, there are going to be struggles. There's going to be pushback. The storms will rise because God tests. And it seems like, did God even get in the boat with me? Hey, God doesn't need to get in a boat with you, because God can walk on the water. And there are times he wants you to feel like, I need to follow the Lord. I'm not just going to get in the boat and take a nap and let Jesus drive. Jesus, take the wheel. Good song. Good point. Just came out. He can take the wheel. However, there are times where Jesus says, I want you to walk. I want you to obey. I want you, why don't you drive for a little bit, but do what I say, because I want you to grow up. It's what we do with our teens. It's what we do with our kids when they grow up. We teach them to drive. God's teaching us to navigate. He didn't say, why don't you just go to sleep and I'll do your life. He teaches us to walk, to navigate. There's a tendency to let the wind and the waves, when they rise up, to cause us to worry and to doubt, to fear, to question yourself and even question the Lord. But remember this, the Lord sees. He sees you and he cares for you. And his desire is to grow your faith, to challenge you. It's good for you that you go through these things. And guess what? These trials, they show where you're really at. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We will get to the other side. We will make it. We're going to be okay. Israel was told to go into the promised land. One of the first things that they did when they were about to enter the land was they sent out 10 spies. It's common, it's normal, it's not a lack of faith to do that. It's common sense, it's what you want to do. You go observe, you check it out, where are we going to go? And so they go in, they check it out. Now the problem was only two of them came back still on fire for the Lord. It's like the Lord said, man, it's awesome in there, let's go. Eight of them came back and said, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know, this is going to be too hard. There are giants in the land. Yeah, there's good stuff, like the Lord said, but this is going to be a hard task. And they came back afraid. They didn't have a positive report. They were negative. They were the ones that you go in and you go, man, let's follow the Lord. Yeah, like, no, we can't. I don't know what's the Lord. It can't be. And you got that negative feedback and the why change, the why invest, the why do this. And they didn't follow. They didn't want to do it. And listen to what Caleb said. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see what he told them? Hey, don't rebel against the Lord. The Lord said, go in there. So for you to fear them and say, oh, can't do it, is rebellion. That's resisting the Lord. And he says, they're our bread. And what does that mean? They're our money. No. Lay it on me, man. No. What does bread do? It sustains and it feeds. It strengthens you. It helps you to grow. So what he's saying is these difficulties, these challenges, these people here, God's going to use them to strengthen us. We need them. We need to go into this battle because it's good for us. He understands that. And then ultimately he says, we can do this. The eight outnumbered the two, and the rest of the people, and we're going through this on Wednesday nights, and the rest of the people grumble and complain and fear, and they side with the eight, because that's what happens when the mob rules, and they end up not going into the land, but wandering. Instead of going into the land, they meander through life for 40 years, instead of trusting the Lord. Here's one thing that you need to know. You will never grow until you eat the bread that God sets before you. And often, it's in the form of a trial or task. Doing things God's way where you are.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Building on the solid ground. Verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Last thing that we want to know today before we go into the storms, and that is this: the storms will pass. They will. You're going to be okay. God has not promised you smooth sailing in life. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have troubles. But he has promised you a safe landing. We will make it. God knows exactly how much storm you need and how much storm you can handle to build your faith. He cares about you. He's building in you a godly heart. His desire is to build in you a godly heart. It really depends on how you respond to the trials and things that happen. Because you can respond and become bitter and turn and go away, or you can finally let go and let God be God and become better. God makes such beautiful people out of adversity and trial. Some of those that I've known that I admired the most experienced adversity and trial. Anita going through some of the health things that she had gone through and retiring early, coming now and serving the Lord depending on his strength. And I knew another woman just like her, named Lorraine, who was terminal, And she was always, you would know, she would help you. You'd be down. You got a stuffy nose or something like that. And she's, oh, I'm so sorry. I pray. You're dying. And she's more concerned about you. You say, my goodness. It's very humbling. Notice it says immediately the boat was at the land. Jesus gets in and boom, they're at the land. This is one of those minor miracles that takes place. Suddenly it's over. All of the sudden, it's over because Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is here. You know, you go through a trial, a storm, and you finally look to the Lord and go, okay, whatever you want, Lord. I give up, whatever you want. It's crazy. We got to give up. I'm following you, Lord. I'm following the Lord. We tell everyone, we're following the Lord. But then we find ourselves a week later, okay, give up. Give up what? Well, you were resisting the Lord is what was going on. And it just kept mounting and building and building and building. And finally you give up. This is a good, good place to be, is to say, I give up, Lord. What do you want? I got the most godly woman I have ever met as a wife now as a result of approaching God that way. I give up, Lord. I'm pursuing. I'm going out. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And finally, I gave up. I didn't get a lot of this and that and all of that, but what I got was better, much better. God has the best for us. Some will think things like, you know, if I just hadn't wasted all that time in the storm, if I just hadn't wasted all this time in the boat, if I hadn't wasted all this time, oh, if I'd have made a different decision, oh, whatever it is. And here's your problem. You keep looking at the storm. You keep looking at the boat. You keep looking at the trial. You keep looking at the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and if I'd have only done, and if this would have happened. And now, you don't realize it, the storm's over. But you're still living it. So you're on dry land. You go, oh, if the boat had no, why didn't you come with us? Is there, and the crowd, if the crowds hadn't come. And you're still complaining. You're still living the storm. And you're not moving forward because you keep looking backward. Did you know that you are right now where you need to be in order to honor the Lord? You don't need to be 3 days ahead, 15 days ahead, one less trial ahead. You are right where you are right now. And God knows where you're at. And you can honor the Lord where you are. So honor Him. Honor Him with your decisions. Honor Him with your reactions. Honor Him by trusting Him. Honor Him by letting Him in the boat and going, Lord, I give up. Whatever you want. What do you want? What do you want? Let me finally listen and follow the Lord by faith. One thing the enemy loves to do is to get our eyes on the storms. So the storms seem overwhelming, like the storms are bigger than God. Or to get our eyes on the past, the things that either happened to us or the things that happened around us or the mistakes that I made, and we can never move on from those things. And the enemy loves to get our mind there because we can never move forward. We can't follow the Lord while we keep looking backwards, but we do. Oh, if these things would only have been different, I could be so different. You can be different right now. You can be different right now. Let the Lord speak to your heart about what He wants you to be, who He wants you to be, how He wants you to respond, what attitude, what direction. You can follow Him and no one has to hold you back. No one and nothing. They get to the other side and they're right where they should be. They don't have to go, oh, I'm so far behind now because of that storm. No, they're exactly on time. They're right where God wants them to be. We need to learn to enjoy where we are. Right here, right now, enjoying where God has us. We could always wish we were somewhere else. Could wish we were somebody else. But you're not. So enjoy where you are. Don't let life pass you by. Troubles come, but that doesn't mean you have to live a miserable life and make life miserable for everyone around you. Enjoy your life. Trust the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know why it's so hard to enjoy what God's done. Well, I don't get this. Well, Mr. Pouty Pants, I wonder why. Probably because God's not all that important to you, and you're going to go through some storms and some trials, more than most, maybe, because of the decisions that you're making. They're not all Him because He's strengthening your faith. Some of your storms are consequences. Now, if you love storms, go ahead and disobey the Lord. If you just love not knowing where life's going and you just love screaming and crying out, you're going to find yourself in a boat alone. Because I'm going to tell you what, everyone else will leave you. They'll get tired of it. And you'll find yourself finally, because the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Everyone else may, and maybe they should, but the Lord will not. And when you get to that place where you realize, I've got to change, Lord, I give up. When you get there, then you might be able to see that you're where you need to be. I remember there was a man who was falsely imprisoned, and he could have grumbled and complained. He did make efforts to prove his case, but while he was in prison, he made the best of his life. He said that the bars have me chained, but the Lord does not have me chained, and he shared the gospel, and he said, I have a jail ministry, and he spread the gospel. Shared the gospel where he was. You may not be in jail. You feel like you're being tossed about, out of control, not where you'd like to be. Don't be miserable. Enjoy where God has you. And do what God would have you do where you are. Paul was imprisoned. And you know what happened to him? He said, you know what? This has actually served to further the gospel. I'm a guy who needs to be out there and pushing my way through and going places, taking beatings every now and then. But I am chained up now. Has that slowed the gospel? No. That's only served to further the gospel. In fact, it's because of those chains that we have certain letters that we would call our Bible now. God had a plan. The trials would pass. See, the storms pass. But let me tell you this. Life passes too. You don't get it back. There's not enough time to sit moping and complaining and grumbling. James said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. If there is ever a dark time, it is when someone receives a terminal diagnosis. And I knew a woman whose name was Barb. It's part of our church. And as I watched her slowly deteriorate and finally be bedridden and then pass away, I never saw more joy and more intimacy with the Lord than in that woman's life. I was almost jealous, like going, Lord, I want that without the death. But I don't think you can have it. I think that God reserves special levels of intimacy for those who really need it, and he knows each of us and where we're at. So you need to grasp all of this as you face the various storms that come, because we need to have the right attitude in the storms. The right attitude in the storms is essential. You know why? Because the storms disorient us. They get us confused. We get worried. They cause us to ask, why? Why, Lord? Why me? Why this? That's the storm. It comes, and we can do that. But it can also lead to bitterness, where we start to resent. We can resent the Lord. We can resent other people, and it's not the Lord's fault. And it's not other people's fault. It's a storm, and we need to learn to weather them. We need to be prepared for them. That's why it's so important that we know this stuff before the storms. So let me tell you something in closing. If you're facing storms right now, know this. His eyes are on you. He sees. He knows. The Lord has a plan. The Lord grows his people. That's part of the plan. And the storms will pass. And I promise you this, he's going to see you through. You're going to be okay. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your